This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May the 22nd. And we are on vacation, but all this week we have some new programming for you. We took some time earlier in the month to do some special one-on-one interviews that we think that you will enjoy. Today's episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. And Jamie got to catch up while she was at Flag Is Up Farm with Monty Roberts' wife, Pat, who has a fascinating story, and I think you're going to love to hear all about the life of Monty Roberts' wife, Pat. Tomorrow, Tuesday, the 23rd, is usually our Western episode. We're moving that till next week so we can do it live, so there'll be no show tomorrow. But then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday on your feeds, you will find some new episodes where I got to catch up with a couple of people and do some one-on-ones. We have Horse Husbands for you on Thursday. And across all of the different shows, we will be putting out shows. We'd never miss a week, so we will not be missing this week either. Keep in mind, though, there'll be no live shows here on Horses in the Morning till next Monday when we're all back from vacation. We hope you enjoy your week, and let's get on with the show. Here is Jamie Jennings and Pat Roberts in a one-on-one.
Well, I am currently sitting on a Friday night talking to one of my favorite people and a bit of a hero of mine. And I don't know if you need an introduction, but I'm going to introduce you anyway. You're Pat Roberts, the better, smarter, and prettier half of the Monty Roberts family. And Pat, what I wanted to talk to you about was we're going to do a little bit of an equestrian legends here on Horses in the Morning and then put this over on Equestrian Legends as well. And, you know, you're behind every good man is a greater woman. And you have had this role of supporting your man through his whole entire life. I mean, you guys have been together for how many years have you been married?
We've been married 60 years. It'll be 61 in June.
61 years. So you've been wow. Aren't you sick of him by now?
he travels so much, I don't have time to get sick of him.
He's happy when he's here. I gotcha.
Right.
So what I wanted to talk to you a little bit about first is, you know, if you don't mind, can we say how old you are or how young you are?
It's just a number. And I was 80 years old last November.
Last November, turned 80 years old. And I'm not kidding you guys. I get up, I do the show, I go to class, and then I'm so tired. And Debbie and I went to dinner the other night, and I could barely drag myself in. And I was like, oh, I guess your mom went to bed. It's like 9 o'clock at night. She's like, no, she's doing dog agility in the covered arena. Like, what? It's just awesome. Your energy is enviable for sure. So first, I want to talk to you about your horses, because you are riding and showing horses, and every time I see you, you're on probably one of the most beautiful horses I've ever seen, a horse named Blackie, but you're competing in riding three, I believe.
I have three horses.
Oh,
I
my
do
gosh.
That I'm going to be competing on each year. I really enjoy the working cow horse, and I'm a non-pro, you know, and I show in non-pro limited. So I don't go down the fence and turn the cows, and I don't have to do anything that strenuous, but I do love the boxing and working out of the herd. So working cow horses and reiners are my favorite horses, and I have three wonderful ones in the barn.
So who are they?
Well, I put Blackie at the top.
Oh,
I love Blackie.
You guys, it's like a black unicorn. I swear there's a horn. You just have to look hard.
He's just a gorgeous horse, and he is so talented. And it's just amazing that he puts up with me. But what I do is I practice on Bunny, and then I go and work with Blackie. But then I've got a four-year-old that I showed in the Futurity last year, and neither one of us were ready to show. But we went there, and we did it. But this year we're going to show in the Derby. And so I'm working really hard on bringing the horse along. But he's really talented, too. But I got to tell you, these horses that I'm riding are from the great-grandmother, the mare that I won so much on by the name of Julius Dahl.
Oh, Julius Dahl.
Julius Dahl was bred to, Sir Quincy Dan, and she produced Quincy Kachina. And then Quincy Kachina was bred to, I can't even recall now, but we got a mare, Tizine. And we got a mare by the name of Tizine or Jeans, and she's the dam of all of those in the barn.
God, I love Western names. Tizine or Jeans.
Tizine or Jeans. That was her.
Nice.
Anyway, she's Blackie's mom and Tommy Check, and Steel Buns.
And, you heard that right. Her horse's name is Steel Buns. She calls him Bunny, but I call him Steel Buns because he has buns of steel. I mean, like, that horse has an engine for sure.
He does, and he's a big, tall boy. He's 16-1 and a half.
Yeah, that's kind of big for a quarter horse, right?
It is.
Or cow horse.
Yeah.
Does it inhibit?
It does. He's not as smooth to ride, particularly on a cow, as Blackie or Tommy. It's a lot easier for...
But Blackie's not small either.
No, he's not small either. You're right.
I mean, you're not... At the age of 80, you're not riding old, broke show ponies. You're riding big, giant, young...
That's true.
...powerful quarter horses.
Blackie is 7 this year. I was showing him last year at 6. And Tommy's 4.
Oh, my gosh. Amazing. Amazing. And then the other thing, as I'm trying to, you know, get through my day while I'm blurry-eyed and trying to get some lunch before I have to go back to class, I come into the kitchen and you're working on sculptures.
That's right. I wear many hats.
Yes.
and you've watched one in the last 3 weeks. Change a little, not much. I haven't had that much time. But if people go on Facebook, they can see there's 12 episodes now that we've videoed, and we're putting the video up on Facebook, and people can watch and see how a sculpture is created.
It's amazing. And then we're trying to schedule this interview, and I'm like, okay, how about lunchtime on Thursday? Sorry, that's not good for me. I have oil painting class to go to. Like, what? You're like this crazy Renaissance woman. It's amazing. Well, so what draws you to painting, too?
Well, actually, painting started the sculpture. I painted before I sculpted.
Really?
When we moved into this home, I looked at all these white walls and said, oh, my gosh, we need color. And didn't have a budget, so I went out and bought how-to books, paint, and canvas.
Seriously? You taught yourself how to do...
I did. I started without any teacher, but then I suddenly decided I really would like to do this, found a wonderful teacher, and within 2 or 3 years, I started selling my paintings, and I thought, wow, this is easy. Mm-hmm. Let's go to sculpture now. And that's what started me in sculpting.
So your sculpture is the centerpiece of the veterinary clinic at Alamo Pintado.
That's right. And it's a very special sculpture. It's of a very, very sweet, dear friend of mine, Charlotte Bradal, on her horse, Mansour. And she was a bronze medalist in Barcelona. And she's had the horse there for many, many years. And
she's probably spent a lot of money at that clinic, too.
Oh,
so.
I think she probably
both
has
of you
too.
Have.
We both have. No question about it. But Joel, her husband, and Charlotte wanted me to sculpt Mansour. And for years they kept saying, when are you going to do this project? So finally one day I said, okay, it's time. So I started sculpting Mansour, and Charlotte would come over and look at it, and she'd say, bigger. I said, okay, and make it bigger. Then she'd come over again, and she'd say, bigger. So finally one day I went over to her place and looked at him, and I knew what she meant. He was a giant. He was 17 plus.
Was he really?
Oh, yeah. Huge horse. that.
Gosh, I can't get a 17-hand horse to trot in a straight line, much less go to the Olympic Games. So basically what you're telling me is that you sculpt Olympians, and me begging you to sculpt Zeus the Mustang is not going to happen? Is that what I'm hearing? Don't answer that. It's okay. I'm still working on that.
No comment.
Yeah. Great. Thanks. So you've led this interesting life, and you're making sculptures and oil paintings and showing horses. And you also have a dog that Monk, the sweetest, cutest thing ever that you do dog agility with. And just the other day, you were limping around the house, and it turns out you broke your toe, and you're like, well, I still have to go do the dog show. So she's out there running around in a dog show with a broken toe, with a limp. What do you think keeps you going and motivates you?
It's all these interesting things I do.
I know.
Obviously. My days are so filled with all kinds of interesting things. Love working with my dog. This is the greatest dog I've owned, and I've owned quite a few, and he's a lot of fun. But my horses, my sculpture, my painting, and I live in a beautiful, beautiful spot on Earth. As you know, the San Ynez Valley is inspirational just being here.
It is.
Really.
So it sure is.
I have a lot of inspiration around
now,
me.
That leads us directly to what my co-host Glenn wanted me to talk to you about, which is the massive amount of celebrities that have come through this farm and the San Ynez Valley. And I was talking to you about a guy named Danny Schwartz, who's a builder. And you said, oh, yeah, Danny Schwartz, that's the guy that introduced us to Frank.
Yes.
And, of course, you're not talking about, like, plumber Frank. You're talking about Frank Sinatra.
That's correct. Yes.
What was your relationship with Frank Sinatra?
Well, what happened is Danny and Frank decided they wanted a racehorse, and they came to Monty and said, find us a racehorse, a horse that's going right now. They didn't want to speculate.
They want to wait. No breeding. They like, let's instant, right now.
Yeah, instant gratification.
Of course.
So Monty found this great horse called Mr. Wright. And
great name.
It was a great name. He turned out to be Mr.
Wright. Mr.
Wright,
yeah.
And the trainer was Evan Jackson, and so they started to enter this horse in races all over the East Coast, and he won and won and won. So naturally, there was a lot of celebrations, and Monty was a hero, and Mr. Wright just, he made their day.
So Mr. Wright, did he win some big races?
Mr. Wright won some very big races. In fact, if Mr. Wright was running right now, he would be a multimillionaire. Because the purses are so
crazy.
Much higher. They're crazy now. But he was a really good racehorse. Just a tough, good horse.
So when you and Monty got into horses, obviously he had been training Western horses for quite some time. And then how did y'all get involved in racehorses?
Well, actually, when we lived in San Luis Obispo, and Monty was showing, and he was also going to rodeos at that time, we did train some racehorses. We had a customer from Hawaii that had a horse called, he called Hey Sam. And Monty trained him, and he was very successful at the track. And that reminds me of the story. The first time we met Hey Sam was in Hawaii. And Hey Sam was brought into the patio and into the house to show us Hey Sam.
No way! They just brought him into
the
house.
He just came on into the house, and they raised him over there, and it was Bob Anderson and his wife, and he was so. There we were living. Monty was going to Cal Poly. He was going to rodeo. He was training racehorses. He was training Western horses, and along came a man that wanted to set him up on a farm, or a ranch, or whatever he wanted. Anywhere he would choose, and Monty chose Flag Is Up because of the water, the soil, the year-round great weather that we have.
It's unbelievable.
Everything is great. I mean, the soil is ideal, and that's how we went from San Luis Obispo to Solvang.
All right, well, coming up in just a second, we're going to talk about another interesting character by the name of Kirk Douglas.
My bone connected to the shoulder bone connected to the leg bone, the leg bone connected to the foot bone.
The leg bone connected to the foot bone is a humorous reminder of how things are connected and dependent upon each other. But all humor aside, the health of your horse's muscles and bones are key to his overall health and performance. At Omega Alpha Equine, they know just how important your horse's entire musculoskeletal system is to his health and happiness, so they offer a variety of different all-natural liquid supplements. Omega Alpha Equine, all-natural supplements based on science to help all of your horse's connected parts stay healthy and perform at their best. Ask for Omega Alpha Equine supplements at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
So I'm back with the Pat Roberts, and what Pat and I are gonna, I'm gonna give you a name, and I want you to kind of say a little bit about that person, because your daughter has been telling on you, and Debbie has been naming names of celebrities. So. And I know some of them are reaching back quite a bit, but this one wasn't that long ago. Tell me, well, I guess it was, oh my God, I'm old. Whew. Tell me about Kirk Douglas.
Kirk Douglas. I can't exactly remember the connection. It could have been when Bonita Granville was up here and they were filming Lassie for the rather... Enterprise.
They filmed Lassie?
Yes.
Here at Flag Is Up Farm?
Yes, yes.
We, like Timmy and Lassie?
Yes,
like, Oh my gosh, I've watched every episode. I actually saw, Glenn and I actually went and met John Provost, who played Lassie after Ron Howard did.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, no, huge fan.
There were about four Lassies that were filmed up here, and there's some interesting stories right there. But anyway, I think it was because the Rathers were... Probably they own the company. I can't really recall, but somehow we were introduced to Kirk and Ann Douglas and their family. And they used to come up every summer and stay at the Alice Al Guest Ranch. And so when they were up here, they would come and visit. And actually, we stayed with them down in Beverly Hills in the home that they still live in.
They had kids, and then Michael Douglas, of course, is their probably their most famous child. But they had kids, and I think I heard something about your kids played with their kids. And
oh yeah, Michael's mom was a different mom from Anne.
Okay,
Anne was his second wife, I believe. And yes, the boys were about the age of Debbie and Lori. And one incident that I recall is I heard afterwards, but Lori was locked into the round pen and Eric was up on top throwing rocks.
Boys are so bad.
Screaming.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I have a list of names here and I'm just going to give you James Garner.
James Garner. He came up to the valley. With his wife, and he teamed up with a fellow by the name of Slick Gardner, who owned the Gardner Ranch across the road from us, and they drove in the Baja 1000. And one year we all went down to Baja, California, in a great big motorhome to watch them race across the desert. And of course, you only see them when they go by, and
right.
You don't see them
it's
for
like
hours.
Any so, race, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like watching paint dry. But it was fun, and part of that group was Yvonne DiCarlo, and I don't know. It just seems like this valley is a magnet for celebrities. Not too long, well, it's been a while now. It's been a few years, but one of my fond memories is going to a party at Cheryl Ladd's, Cheryl and Brian Russell, and watching Ephraim Zimlis, John Forsythe, and Fess Parker sitting at a table all together, having a glass of wine, and we all got together and had our picture taken.
Wow.
And that's, you know, the kind of valley we live in. We've been so blessed.
Well, it's the escape from Hollywood up here. I mean, mm-hmm. It's peaceful and serene, and there's an easy road right down into LA, or it used to be easy.
It's not so
easy anymore.
Absolutely.
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan ran for governor, and he came to Buellton, and he gave a speech in front of Anderson P. Soup Anderson, Vince Evans, who owned Anderson's.
Which is a very kitschy hotel.
Famous for its famous pea soup.
That's like, right. What a weird, yeah.
Anyway, he came and he was campaigning for governor. And we met him there in front, out in the street, where they built a big platform for him to give his speech. And then after that, for about eight, nine, 10 years, I can't really recall, but we had a fundraiser here called the Reagan Country Roundup, and it was to raise funds for the Republican Party.
And I mean, Ronald Reagan, I mean, he became a pretty common staple here at the ranch.
Well,
and he was a big horse guy.
He was a big horse guy. He wasn't here on the farm so much, but he was in the valley. And of course, the Western White House was up on the top of the mountain between Santa Barbara and the valley, and it was Rancho Cielo. And he would go to church in the Presbyterian Church in near Ballard every Sunday. And he loved to cut logs. And in fact, if you go in our living room, you'll see a log that was presented to us for doing the fundraising
right.
that we did for the Santa Barbara County.
Wow.
And that was cut by Ronald Reagan.
Oh, wow. What a cool gift.
Yes. And then, you know, that reminds me, too, one of my mentors, well, the mentor, the man that was really responsible for me continuing to sculpt, was Jack Swanson. And he was a great cowboy artist. And when Reagan was in, he won his governorship. And when he was governor, one of Jack's paintings hung in the governor's office in Sacramento. And then when he became president of the United States, that same painting went to the White House.
Wow.
In Washington, D.C.
Amazing.
The little tweaks, the way the world goes around, it's just amazing.
It is.
It's a small world.
It's very small, yeah. So then I heard, well, it's not really a rumor because it's in Monty's book, but I heard that there's some young debonair actor that had a bit of a fancy for you by the name of James Dean.
Jimmy Dean was really the nicest guy. You know, he takes a lot of bum raps because they said he was moody and he was this and he was that. I never saw one bit of that.
Really?
When I was graduating from high school in 1954, Elia Kazan and James Dean came to town, and they were looking for a girl to play a part, a very small part, in East of Eden. And I went to a casting call and was picked. And so I spent a lot of time with Jimmy Dean and Monty, and we all kind of ran around, went to rodeos and ropings, and he was fascinated with shaps and ropes and horses and everything to do with the country life. And he was just the nicest man. I really, really liked him a lot. And of course, the sad part of the story was he was on his way to Salinas. He was going to Laguna Seca for car races, but he was also coming to look for ranches. He wanted to own a ranch.
Oh.
He was going to set us up as his caretakers or whatever, you know.
Wow.
But everything changes, and usually something happens for a reason.
So you've been here at Flags Up Farm for how many years?
50.
50 years. That's right. You just had the 50-year anniversary of Flags Up Farms.
We moved here in October of 1966.
Wow, 1966. I guess, you know, the natural progression of talking about celebrities is you kind of go with, like, oh, just some A-list celebrities, and then you move on to the Queen of England. And I've always wanted to get this from your perspective, because Monty always kind of glosses over. He's like, oh, and then the Queen called, and then this happened, you know, and the Queen called. And I'm like, okay, hold up. I need to know, like, did the phone ring and it's the Queen of England? Like, how does the Queen call? Like, how does that happen?
No, it didn't happen like that.
Okay.
The Queen didn't call.
No. He glossed over it a little bit.
Yeah, he glossed over it. No, what happened was It just so happened that the Queen's retired equerry, Sir John Miller, was friends with a mutual friend of ours here in the Valley, and he came to visit, and the Queen said, as long as you're going to California to visit your friend, why don't you look up Monty Roberts and see what he's all about? Because she had read a couple of articles in trade magazines, the Blood Horse or the Thoroughbred Record, and she was very curious because she loved her horses and she always wanted to find out better ways of doing things with animals. So Sir John Miller showed up, and Monty was kind of laughed. He said, you know, this looks to me like it's one of John's jokes. And he didn't really think that he was really the real equerry. But he went along with it, and he started a couple of horses, and then we stopped and came up to the house and had lunch, and then went back down, and Monty asked if he wanted to see some more, and he said, oh, yes, and he stayed most of the day.
So Monty's just working horses.
Just working, just starting colts, you know, just like he normally does at that time of year. And so at the end of the day, Sir John, who was very proper and looked like he was out of casting, shook Monty's hand, thanked me for lunch, and said, you'll be getting a call from the Queen, but I think he really meant you'll be given an invitation to come and display what you do for the Queen.
So when the Queen is sending you an invitation, I'm just curious, like, how she communicates with the world. Was it like a formal invitation in the mail?
No, actually, it was very casual.
Is this a stupid question? I'm sorry.
No, it's not a stupid question at all. It was a casual letter from Sir John stating that the Queen would like you to come to Windsor Castle in April of 1989 and start a couple of horses for her so that she could see exactly what you do.
So did she send plane tickets? Is this on your dime? Like, how does that work?
The Queen doesn't send plane tickets. You know, maybe that's not fair, because maybe she did. I don't recall, to tell you the truth.
But there was no helicopter that landed on your farm picked you up and took you to the airport. No. Like, it was more like, I'm a cowboy and my wife, and we are going to England for whatever.
No, it didn't happen. It was pretty casual, except that it was a letter from Sir John.
So she has people, is what you're saying.
Oh, yes.
She has many people.
Many people.
And then that just started.
So we went over in April, and our son Marty was there too. And the first morning, they gave Monty it looked like a lion's cage. He had never started a horse in a round pen that was wire. So they put it in the middle of the mews, the stables, and the Queen Mother, Prince Philip, Marty, and myself were up above looking down on the round pen, and I answered questions while Monty worked down in the round pen.
Were you so nervous?
No, I don't know why I wasn't, but I wasn't.
So you're sitting there with the Queen basically translating this language, yes, that your husband has created, and you weren't at all like, oh my gosh, he's doing it in a lion's cage. What happens if he screws up? What happens if it doesn't work? You just had 100% confidence looking back.
It never occurred to me that it wouldn't work.
Wow.
I know.
Well, of course it's going to work, because it literally works all the time. But, I mean, that's amazing.
Monty, it choked him up a little bit, because he had not been in, as I said, in one of these wire cages before. And but, you know, once he got in there with the horse and the horse started to move, everything just went away and they did their thing.
Well, and it goes to show you it must have worked, because pretty much every one of his demonstrations all around the globe are in a wire lion's cage.
That's right.
Basically. So
Queen's words, lion cage.
Is that what she said? That was
she
her
did.
Words?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. I wonder what she was expecting. I mean, obviously, she had been told that what he did. But when she says lion cage, I wonder if she was expecting, you know, a whip and a chair, you know, defending these horse, you know, him against these horses. Gosh, that had to be such an incredible experience. So how did it end? She's like, great, I'll call you. Or like,
no, what happened is she was supposed to be there for the first horse that day, and then for the rest of the week, they would just report to her. I don't think they were even videoing at that point. But she was so fascinated that both she and Prince Philip were there most of the morning, and then everyone went off for lunch, and then they came back in the afternoon. The Queen Mom didn't come back, but anyway, the Queen and Prince Philip were there most of the week, and she wasn't supposed to be there, but one joined up in the morning on Monday. And on the end of the week, the filly that was started, the first one that was started, was the Queen Mother's filly. And on Friday, our rider, Sean McCarthy, was with us. And Sean, now a trainer, thoroughbred trainer at Santa Anita, down south.
Wow. And
anyway, he rode the filly out underneath the Windsor Castle. The Queen Mother came in her livery chauffeured car and leaped out and ran over and was just absolutely thrilled that her horse had been started and it was already being ridden
wow.
underneath the castle.
That's unbelievable.
And we've got all those wonderful photographs.
Yes.
Good memories.
Well, they're hanging on the wall, and walking through here, it's like a trip through time. It's just a museum. And I think, too, that sometimes when Monty talks, he has so many stories that are so amazing. And I don't know. I mean, listeners of this radio program know that sometimes, you know, I get a little theatrical, like, and sometimes I try to make things more exciting. And I don't know, when I was hearing all these stories, I'm like, okay, some of this just has to be stories. And then I go down the hall and that's a photograph of James Dean and Pat together hanging out. And then, oh wait, there's a letter from the Queen. Oh my gosh, there's Christmas cards from every year from the Queen. Like, how do you get on the Queen's Christmas card list? I don't know, but I want in.
We've been on her Christmas card list in 1989. It's amazing to go down the hall and look at all those years and to see how she and Prince Philip and the Queen Mum have changed and how the family's grown. And it's a wonderful experience to go down and look at them all.
Have you guys seen the Netflix show called The Crown?
I've seen a portion of it because Monty's a member of the Screen Actors Guild, and they always send out trailers and things. And it looks fascinating.
I gotta say, I was nervous about it because of Monty's relationship with her. I hold her in very high esteem, if I can speak like a Brit. Mm-hmm. I just think she's just so amazing. And I was really nervous about seeing a show about her, but I'm about three quarters of the way through season one, and I really feel like it does her a good service, I guess, for people that, you know, like, I didn't know anything about her younger life, and it's really interesting to see The Crown and to see the stress she was under and what she's had to go through and what she's had to fight through and be thrust into, and to come out as such an amazing woman and to do such a fantastic job, but then to stay so true to her horses and her passion and her love, that it's so exciting. I'm waiting for Monty's double to come out and start training horses, but that might be like season three. I don't know.
She's truly an amazing lady. I just have the utmost respect for her. She is warm. She's interesting. She's well-read. You can speak to her almost on anything. Of course, we stick to animals.
Right.
And that's our ticket.
It's your connection.
That's our connection,
yeah.
You know. And we've had fabulous visits staying at Windsor Castle. We've stayed in the Norman Tower for her Golden Jubilee. And then we stayed in the Margaret Thatcher Suite for her Diamond Jubilee.
You went to the Diamond Jubilee too?
Oh, yes. And that was one of the most experienced. I mean, that was an awesome experience for me. Monty flew over from Germany for the day, and then he had to fly back because he had a demonstration the next day. But I got to stay and went to this fabulous black tie dinner with the Queen and lots of heads of state. And Sheikh Mohammed's wife was there. And I was at the table with Prince Philip, and Sir John Miller was my dinner partner. And in fact, that was the last dinner party that Sir John ever attended. He died the next Wednesday.
Oh, my gosh.
But it was nice to be there, and he was very, very old and not in good health. But it was it's been an amazing experience. And then last year, we went for her 90th birthday celebration.
I think I saw a photograph of you looking absolutely stunning and Monty in the top hat and
that's
tails.
Right.
Is that from where that's from?
Mm-hmm. And that was right outside of the part of the castle where the Margaret Thatcher suite is located.
Unbelievable. Well, we're going to take a break and we will be right back in just a second.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com.
And I'm back with Pat Roberts, better half of Monty Roberts, the horse trainer, and there's a name that came up that I have to ask you about because I think it led to some interesting times. And that is a kid who came here that Monty kind of took under his wing named Satish Simar.
Yes, Satish Simar was going to Cal Poly. And he came down to the farm on one of the trips. Roger Hunt, who was the head of the ag department up there at the time, brought him down and introduced us. And Satish was really impressed with our operation here, and he came to work for us. And he was an absolute gem. Talk about a good horseman. And he was like a sponge. He just absorbed everything, and Monty loved working with him. And Monty felt like he had a great future in the horse industry, and it would be wonderful if he could take Monty's concepts and use them over in different areas. He actually had a plan, a plot.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
not
he did.
Much.
He put him with the TaylorMade brothers, TaylorMade Farms in Lexington, Kentucky, and gave
which are the sponsors of our Around the Track episode that we have. Which those guys are just absolutely awesome.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't even
know that.
That's
okay.
So.
You don't have to listen to this. Yeah, but they do an Around the Track,
okay.
And
cool.
TaylorMade sponsors it, and it's the guy, one of the guys who was in charge of the Pollock Reports. It's a Pollock Report radio show. It's fascinating, and they do kind of interviews like this, and it's all sponsored by TaylorMade, so we are...
Oh, that's terrific.
I'm actually going to TaylorMade next week.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to go meet California Chrome, so I'm pretty excited.
You have to say hi to Mark and Ben and Everett Frank. And
I'm going to write these down,
Mark,
Ben.
Ben, Frank.
Okay, well, I don't know if I'll meet any of those exciting people, but if I do, I will tell them that Pat says hi.
Well, good. That's great. But so Monty... told the actually I think Frank Sr. was alive at that time, that he had a student by the name of Satish Simar that really they needed back there.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went to work for TaylorMade, and of course he worked the sales, and Sheikh Mohammed caught sight of Satish, and Monty was back at a sale, and I guess Sheikh Mohammed walked up to him and said, well, tell me about this man, this Satish Simar. And of course Monty could give him the best glowing reports
of
anything. And Sheikh Mohammed offered him a job. And I think Satish has been there over 20 years now.
Now, back up. How did Sheikh Mohammed know to ask Monty? Did he know Monty already?
He did.
Okay.
He did, because we were at all the two-year-old and training.
Right.
At the yearling sales,
mm-hmm.
to buy horses for the two-year-old and training sales.
Right.
And so we've seen him at the sales for years, and that's how we knew him. But anyway, he went to work for Sheikh Mohammed, And we were invited by Sheikh Mohammed to come over and visit. And our first visit, it was really amazing. I had not been to a Middle Eastern country at that time. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. It was, you'd see camels ridden by the Bedouins going down the roads. And I got to go to the camel races, which is something that women don't get to do in Dubai.
Right.
And I went out in the middle of the desert to the Bedouin tent that where all of the fellows were sitting on the benches, and they had all had birds on their shoulders. They're birds of prey, falcons, and whatever. I don't know all the names of the birds. But anyway, what an experience. And really,
those are things that people don't see in real life. No. I mean, especially women. That's
true,
unbelievable.
True. I didn't have to take my shoes off to go into the tent, but all the boys did.
Really?
And the first time we went over, we stayed at the Jebba Ali, which is a 5-star hotel. It was just outstanding. I was blown away. There was even a closet that had a temperature for furs in our room.
Oh my gosh.
Oh.
Like you're going to wear fur in the desert,
yeah,
but I guess if you do, it's ready.
It's
the closet
ready.
Is ready.
But anyway, we got to experience Dubai at a time when it was different from the way it is today. Today it's grown up. It's almost like Las Vegas on steroids.
It's steroids, yeah.
I really enjoyed it more back then.
Wow, amazing experience. And Pat, there's something that sticks out in my mind, and there is a Frank Sinatra story that I think you were going to tell, but I got you off track. I don't know, it's probably my fault. So there's a, tell me this story about, because I've heard bits and pieces, of Frank Sinatra buying a filly and then selling the filly. And then it goes on to the, the other part. Tell me that story. I got to know. I want to hear from you.
It's pretty interesting. Well, we talked about Mr. Right being a really good racehorse, and he won a lot of money. So Frank and Danny got really excited, and they sent Monty to Florida to the 2-year-old in training sale, and they wanted to buy a
They got a taste of victory, now they're in.
They were in. And so he went down, and he found an absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous colt called Rough Rollick. And he spent a lot of money for him. I can't remember what it was, but it was way
up there. Can you imagine people out there listening? I'm here at the sale. I'm buying a horse for a client. Oh, who's your client? Some guy named Frank Sinatra. Like, that doesn't happen. That's not real life, but it really happened. Yeah. So he bought Rough Rollick?
The horse's name was Rough Rollick. But while Monty was there at the sale, he saw this gorgeous filly that he just fell in love with. And he called Frank and said, "Hey, Frank, I know we bought Rough Rollick, but I've got another filly that just, I really like her." Frank said, "No, I think we spent enough money." So Monty put his thinking cap on, and then he called another person and described the filly, and the guy said, "Oh, okay, I'll take her." So he bought Kathy Honey.
Kathy Honey.
Kathy Honey. And you can go look her up because she's made history.
But really?
Anyway, they brought the two horses home from Florida. And the weekend that Frank and Danny were going to come up and see the new purchase, a friend of Frank's by the name of Jilly Riso, who had restaurants, one in, I think, in New York and another one, I think, in L.A. Anyway, he wanted to give Frank something for his birthday. So he found a Sicilian donkey, and he had it delivered up to the farm so that he knew Frank was coming up anyway to present him with this Sicilian donkey.
Please tell me the money was like, "Hey, here's your racehorse." It brings out the Sicilian donkey.
They might have done something like that. It was a crazy time. But anyway, so after the presentation was over, they pulled the racehorse out, the potential racehorse, Rough Rollick. And he was beautiful, and Frank was, ecstatic over him because he was a lot prettier than Mr. Wright. And so then Monty said, "Well, I want to show you this filly that you didn't want to buy."
Yeah.
And he pulled Kathy Honey out. And it just so happened that the man that bought Kathy Honey was there. And Frank looked at her and said, "Oh my God, she's beautiful. Oh, I'd like to buy her. Can I buy in? And the other man, the owner of the filly, said, I'll tell you what. I'll let you buy half of her if you'll sell me half of Rough Frolic. And Frank said, no. Anyway, the upshot of this, Kathy Honey became champion three-year-old of the United States.
Oh, my gosh.
And Rough Frolic never won a race.
Oh,
it was horrible.
Should have sold.
But Monty did end up getting him very well sold as a hunter. And he became a champion hunter in the United States. Yes, he was that gorgeous. And he was athletic. He wasn't fast.
He just wasn't fast
enough.
Oh, that's great. Well, Pat, this has been an absolute pleasure to sit here and chat with you. And I just thank you so much for your time. It's been amazing. And the whole time here has been awesome. And thank you for being such a gracious and wonderful and warm host. And I hope y'all have enjoyed this. I know I did. And thank you very much for everything.
Oh, thank you for interviewing me, and thank you for letting me tell some of my old tales.
I love it.
It's been fun. It really has. Thank you.
Thank you.